This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
All right, so it's BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So we heard before from the Giants general manager. We'll get back to these calls, but before we do that, let's hear from the Jets general manager. Mr. Mucci had a bunch of things to say. First up, what happened with Aaron Rodgers?
I just want to address the Aaron Rodgers stuff, get ahead of that. I'm not going to discuss any private discussions that I had with Aaron throughout this process, and really with any private discussion I had with any player for that matter. I'm not here to confirm or deny any rumors that happened during that process. I will say this. There was never an ultimatum or rules of engagement for Aaron to potentially join the Jets again. That never happened. AG and I had a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations, a lot of good thoughts, and just felt at the end of the day it was the best thing for the Jets moving forward, just going a different direction at the quarterback position. So a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers as a player and person. First ballot Hall of Famer. Wish him nothing but the best. But that was a decision we made, and look forward to kind of moving past that and into this next process here with free agency and the draft.
All right, so that started off a little bit on a rocky note there. I'm not here to confirm nor deny. But Mucci got it together. And by the way, we got to give him time to get used to this stuff. I mean, he is now the front man for the organization. And, you know, you get comfortable in front of a mic with time. Now, not everybody's great on a mic. Like, I think Cashman does a good job for the Yankees. We don't hear much from Leon Rose at all for the Knicks. Like, so it really depends. But I do think that was pretty solid. And I think really at the end it provided a little bit of clarity if you choose to believe Mucci, and I will at this point, probably referencing the McAfee stuff, the OTAs. That's where he said, no, we did not offer an ultimatum. All right, so that's the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And because they moved on from Aaron Rodgers, obviously now the plan is to exhaust all the options at quarterback.
We're going to exhaust all options. Obviously, there's a lot of intriguing prospects here this week at the Combine. We'll dive into that, some in free agency, and we'll keep all options open at quarterback and really every position on the team.
Short and sweet. I know that you probably want more as a fan. Trust me, I'd love a little more juice for the show. You don't have to provide more juice. Everybody knows why he's there. He's looking for a quarterback. He's looking at players. He's going to look at the free agents. He's going to make sense of what makes sense for the Jets. And again, a little short, but I think it's fine. I have no problem with that. Now, as they exhaust those options at quarterback, maybe they don't go quarterback at number 7. Thoughts on what they could do at number 7?
I do. I think at 7 right now, we're going to be open to potentially moving up for a player or moving back. All those options are on the table right now.
There you go. It's dumb and it's foolish to project anything other than that. Hey, listen, we're open for business. If you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, and if you're in front of us, we might be calling you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I'm curious about this because as of now, he's still here. And there's a thought that, well, without Rodgers, Devontae Adams is going to be next, and they could obviously save some money with the salary cap. Here's him talking about Devontae Adams.
Yeah, Devontae's on the team right now. Obviously, we have a plan there, and in the in the next few weeks, we'll kind of address that issue. But Devontae's on the team. Again, all those private discussions that I've had with Devontae, his representation, I'll keep private for now.
Yeah, he's going to be off the team. I mean, that's what I take away from that. Devontae's on the team for now, and we have a plan, but, you know, we'll address that in a couple of weeks. So you've got to get, I would think, past certain checkpoints here. You know, when can you cut them? Do you trade them? What's absorbable? Dead money? Blah, blah, blah. Hop, did you hear the same thing that I heard there with the Devontae Adams? Do you think he's off the team? Think they're moving on?
Yeah, I think once they said they got rid of Aaron Rodgers, I think Devontae was next.
Yeah, I think that's a layup. All right, so that's Darren Mooji, the new general manager for the Jets. How about our guy Aaron Glenn, former Jet player, first year head coach for Gangrene, and he just sounds pretty pumped up to be at the combine and ready to roll. Here's AG.
I'm very grateful to be the head coach of this team. There's a number of things that has transpired over this first month of being the head coach. The things that have been that's been important to me is the conversation that me and Moo just had about this roster, about the coaching staff, the scouting department, and the conversation that I've had with our ownership group about how we see this team and moving forward. So those things have been outstanding to me. Listen, Mooji has talked about the Aaron Rodgers deal. I don't think there needs to be anything else said about that, especially with some of the players we have on the roster also. I don't think anything has to be said about that. I'm excited. I'm excited for the forward thinking of this group and what we're going to do as a team. So we're here to win now, and we're looking forward to it. So any questions?
He's all business, this guy, man. AG, serious. I love him. I mean, maybe, listen, depending upon what they do at quarterback, when they say we're here to win now, could it wind up being a small contradiction? Not that I would hold it against them. I don't think you're a first-year coach coming out saying, yeah, we're going to get our brains beat and stripped down of assets and whatever. You know, you certainly project positivity. But if Tyrod Taylor is starting week one, you know, are you really trying to win? Whatever. It's you give both of these gentlemen a lot of room to get off the tarmac, get a little altitude, figure out what's what. So that is kind of an overview from Aaron on the entire franchise. What about a little more specifically what he looks for in a quarterback?
We're looking for winners.
Are you confident that you can find a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers for 2020?
We're confident we're trying to win games. So that may be. It is what it is. So, and that's it. And the thing is, I don't want to disrespect any other players we have on our team. And it kind of pisses me off and some of the other players that's what we all talk about. You have Quinnen Williams, you have Quincy Williams, you have AVT. Now you have Joe Tippmann. All those guys need to be respected as far as winning games also.
All those guys need to be, what was that last part? Respected? I don't understand that. All those guys need to be I'm confused there.
I think he means that just because you lost Rodgers doesn't mean we can't have a winning team with the players we have.
Yeah, you are on top of it today, dude. That's like 4 for 4. Good job, Dolph. Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. They do have a lot of good players. What he's telling you is he doesn't think Rodgers is good enough. That's what he's telling you. That's it. And he probably wants somebody that's not stationary. And Aaron's, you know, pocket presence and his ability to move is just not what it was. So, again, I would have brought back Rodgers, but I'm not going to kick and scream. I'm on board with the decision. Trust the new regime until I have reason not to. Now, Hoff, was there one more or no?
Yeah, there's one more. Asked about, you know, talking if you talked to players about the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yes, I have talked to him. And listen, I understand the reaction of the players, but I will say this. Every decision that me and Mooch make is to win and to win now. So I understand it. But again, listen, this is not going to be the last decision I make, right? That's going to upset some people. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? But as men, we talk about it.
That's right.
Make sure we keep it in house that we're going to continue to do.
Oh, I'm going to love this guy. I tell you, AG, he's the one. I'll put it on the table now. He's the savior. Saint AG. Saint Aaron. Yes. Ironically, we thought it would be Saint Aaron Rodgers to save us, but now we're putting the chips in the Saint Aaron Glenn column. He just sounds like, I mean, and this is no surprise. I've obviously reacted to the hire. He's just a guy's guy. He is no nonsense. He is all in on trying to be the great coach. You know, he's told stories about how during the offseason, how he has spent time with you know, other coaches and the time he puts in, his delivery. It's just no nonsense. Like, I love a coach who's not trying to placate people. Like, he's not thinking about, he's not reckless, clearly, but he's not kissing anybody's ass. Hey, there's going to be other tough decisions I make. That's just the way it's going to be. And you'll find out when you find out. You're damn right we'll find out when we find out. I'm behind you, AG. I got you. He's going to lead us to the promised land, Hoff. I even like the way he says Mooj instead of Mooji. Mooj. Like, he's, man, I do admit that I'm eating it up a little bit more because he did play for the Jets and he was a really good player and he is from the Parcells tree and he was with Sean Payton. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like the resume of Aaron Glenn. There's a lot. And then you just listen to him talk and it's like, all right, that's a real one right there. I like him even more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, come on, boost the volume. I can barely hear you. Yes, sir, yes, sir. McMonagle here with you on the Fan 1202.
That's right, 5-hour midnight ride as I take it till 5 a.m. and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Rosenberg on the other side still for a few minutes. Fliegelman's with us. Ryan is running the show tonight, so give him a call at 888-808-1019. We got a lot to get to. Guess what? Today was about the quarterback position. What a shocker. Yeah, we got crazy injuries constantly every day in spring training. We'll get to some of the baseball. We'll get to Stanton. We'll get to some of the names hitting home runs for both the Mets and Yankees that could make things interesting for how this how these rosters are going to shake out. Ta-da! All right, go enjoy your Thursday morning, Paul. See ya. Make sure you got that cut for him, all right? Oh, is it Wednesday morning already? Jeez.
Can you get the name of the day
I'm
right,
always
please?
A day ahead, so I thought, like, in my mind it was Wednesday, next day is Thursday. I'm losing it.
It's his weekend, so let him have the 2 days.
Okay, take it. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Chris.
You got it.
You have a good show, okay?
Thank you. And I just so you know, I look better in a beard than you do. I got to just get that beard. That's the problem.
You have a good mustache. You won't have a good beard.
I don't have a good mustache. I have a world-class mustache. Okay? So
depends
first
on your definition
right
of world-class, to be fair.
Well, I think
Rosenberg's one of the very few full-timers here with always a full beard.
No, I know. I saw his tweets. He's very upset that he doesn't get his beard credit. So I just wanted to let him know that although it's nice, that fabricated photo blows your beard out the water. All right, this is the opening of the
energy.
Show. Beard energy?
Big beard energy.
Big beard energy. That's right. Well, let me ask you a question, because we heard all the coaches, we heard the GMs, we heard Aaron Glenn speak for the New York Jets, and I want to start there because I had a couple issues with the New York Jets. Shocker. I had a couple issues with the New York Giants we'll get to as well. But obviously, this is all about the quarterback position, right? And so today, as we get ready for the combine in a couple days, and we know Shedeur Sanders isn't throwing at the combine, and all these questions about the roster, and this is the first time that the New York Jets have had a chance to speak to the media, to their fan base, about the decision that they made. The most important position on the team, the quarterback, and the decision that they made moving on from Aaron Rodgers. And I had a problem with some of the things that were said, and I also had a problem with the way in which they were said. Because a couple of things just, you know how I feel about this, and it continues to not make sense to me. And I got to be totally honest with you. Like, first, they don't really give you a reason. And I know Evan was on this today, and he's 100% right. Muji opens up his press conference and says, I want to address the Aaron Rodgers situation. And he gives us, okay, you know, there was no ultimatum. That piece of news, that it wasn't like, hey, are you willing to stop doing the Pat McAfee show? Hey, can you make sure you're here every day? And either you got to do those two things and play by the book, or we're going to get rid of your ass. Like, okay, so that didn't happen. All right. But can you tell us why you moved on? And I understand that it's, some people will tell you, well, Chris, it's obvious. I want to hear why you moved on from a four-time MVP, a player who gave you as good a play at the quarterback position as the Jets have had since 1969. I want to know why you moved on from him. Give me a little bit on why Aaron Rodgers wasn't for you. And they really didn't tell us anything. And then they continue to tell you it's about winning now. Well, I spin the damn wheel every day at 3 a.m., and we will do it again today. And we could talk about the idea of the pie in the sky, Matthew Stafford coming here, and we could talk about everything else. How in the world? I continue to say this, and I don't understand it. Stop. How can you tell me it's about winning now, that you're making decisions based on winning today, when you just got rid of the best option you have to win today in Aaron Rodgers? And I know we disagree on it, or at least some people do. Again, tell me where they're getting a better quarterback. If this is about winning now, tell me where they're getting a better quarterback where they don't have to, you know, and add $35 million to whatever quarterback they bring in. Aaron Rodgers would have been willing to take a pay cut. Aaron Rodgers would have taken less of a cap hit. Now you're doing whatever the new quarterback is. And by the way, Tyrod Taylor, who they didn't seem all that happy with. Well, I can't commit to Tyrod Taylor. We got free agency. We got the draft. We got this. We got that. Tyrod Taylor's the only quarterback on the roster. and explain to me how Tyrod Taylor gives you a better chance to win now. And I know I've said all this, and this is nothing new, and it's how I feel about what the Jets are doing right now, and I understand why he's talking about winning now, because ultimately, it is important. I think winning now for the New York Jets is as important or more important than any team in the NFL, and especially more important than even the New York Giants, who we're going to get into in a little bit. Like, I think the, like, and this is another problem I had with Aaron Glenn. Because Aaron Glenn is walking into a very difficult situation, and he opened the press conference saying how happy he is to be here. And I'm glad he's happy to be here, and I'm sure he is. But when he speaks and how he spoke in this press conference, I'm not sure he understands the challenge he is taking on. Because you can give me all the coach speak in the world and tell me, hey, it's about winning now. And tell me, hey, you know, we got a lot of good players. And tell me that you're pissed off that we're still talking about the quarterback position. It's the first time you've stepped in front of the media to answer the question on Aaron Rodgers. And yet you're pissed off? What are you pissed off about? It's the most important position in the NFL. You're talking about winning now if you don't have a quarterback on the roster. And you're talking about winning now, you don't have a quarterback, and you're pissed off that that's what the questions are about? Like, do you realize what you're stepping into, Aaron Glenn? You are stepping into a franchise that everybody thinks is run by a bunch of fools and idiots. You are stepping into a franchise that is the epitome of losing. And right now, represent losing more than any other professional sports team in all the land. In any professional sport, if they get paid to play, nobody loses more than the Jets. You're stepping into a roster that, as you said, and we'll play the clip in a little bit. Oh, we have great players on this team. I'm pissed off that it's only about the quarterback. What about Quinnen Williams? What about his brother? What about Sauce Gardner? What about Garrett Wilson? Like, we got players on this team, yeah. And you want to win now, and you're not giving them a quarterback. And you're wondering why that's the question. You know why that's the question? Because all of those other guys are kind of givens, right? We know the roster is good enough. That's why when you brought in Aaron Rodgers, or they did before obviously he was the coach, everybody, myself included, a lot of the NFL world, told you they were going to be a playoff team. They were going to be a threat to get to the Super Bowl. They were going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Why? Because we know the talent on this roster. And to me, I got to be honest with you. His entire tone, I know he is a coach speak, fast talking, energetic kind of speaker. But if you listen to him and if you watch the press conference, again, the one-on-ones later was a little bit different. But that press conference, as he's answering the questions and he's talking about the quarterback position and everything that comes along with his decision, he seemed angry. He seemed adversarial, and he seemed pissed off. And I'm sorry. If you're going to tell me you know this team, and you know this franchise, and you're happy to be here, and you're taking on this challenge, and you're going to give me Bill Parcells, and you're going to give me the 98 AFC Championship game, and you're going to talk as if you understand what's going on, well then why are you so mad when the first time you speak to the media after your decision to get rid of a four-time MVP and a Super Bowl champion who just put up some of the best numbers, win or lose, and I understand they didn't win a lot of games, but just put up some of the best numbers the franchise has ever seen at the quarterback position. You yourself just listed a bunch of really talented players who you had to talk about addressing this decision with them because they're all bummed out about it because they've seen terrible quarterback play over the last handful of years and seen what it's done to the team. You had to talk to Quinnen Williams because he's taken to Twitter. You're going to have to talk to Jermaine Johnson because he's talking about how what a wonderful player he is. You're going to have to talk to Solomon Thomas because he's going on and on about how great Aaron Rodgers is. And because they don't want to rebuild, they want to win now. So you're in front of the media. You're talking about winning now. You're talking about how good the roster is. Well, this roster isn't going to, those guys aren't going to be here forever. So it is about winning now. So if it's about winning now, and you talk about how good the rest of the roster is, you have the seventh pick in the draft, what do you expect the questions to be about? Like, honestly, what did you think you were going to be asked today? He said, well, listen, Muji addressed the Aaron Rodgers situation, so, and it kind of pisses me off that we're still talking about it, or it pisses me off that that's all we talk about when it comes to winning. Well, you just said, I've got defensive tackles. I've got an excellent linebacker. I have an all-pro wide receiver. I got a shutdown corner. I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. And yet, no one's supposed to talk about the one position that makes it all come together? Why, well, you know, it actually pisses me off. I did not love his tone. I didn't love the idea that questions about the quarterback are already bothering him. This is a franchise that hasn't answered that question in decades. Decades! And now this coach understands what it's like to be on this coach understands this franchise. This coach, he's been here. This coach gets it. This is different. This is not like hiring a rookie defensive head coach who's going to be, you know, in over his skis. That's not him. He's a culture builder. He understands the franchise. Well, if he understands the franchise, then what is he all upset about answering questions about the most important position in football and a position that has hampered the success of this franchise for decades? I got to be honest. I did not love the press conference. I thought his initial press conference, his introductory press conference, he was great. In this one, he seemed annoyed, he seemed adversarial, and he seemed like he didn't want to be there. I did not love what I heard from Aaron Glenn. And listen, we're going to find out about the quarterback position, and we'll see what they can do. They're going to, you know, look to win now. Again, we'll spin the wheel at 3 o'clock, and you can tell me where the quarterback is, where they can win now with. Now, Matthew Stafford is going to be a conversation. I don't know how much of that is circling around the Jets. Obviously, the Giants and what you heard from Joe Shane and his desire to take a swing at the quarterback position, and we'll get to the Giants in a second, but Joe Shane talking about taking a big swing at the quarterback position, which is ironic coming from someone who's had three drafts now and hasn't taken a single swing on the quarterback position, and the only swing he took was paying Daniel Jones, and he openly, and still said it again today, was paying Daniel Jones, and the decisions they made after that first winning season was probably the worst decision he made and set the franchise back. And we'll see what they believe in as far as, you know, it sounds like they definitely want to draft one of the quarterbacks and they want to get a veteran in here. But one thing that Joe Shane said that I have to push back on a little bit. Joe Shane said that they are, and I'm not saying you have to say different, but I just want to say that I completely disagree with him, and I hope he's just saying it for saying it's sake. They talked about, well, listen, with that third pick, we got to get, first of all, he admitted that he doesn't know Cam Ward all that well. He can't say he doesn't know Shedeur Sanders. There's literal, like they know, we know he's talked to Shedeur Sanders. But he says he doesn't know Cam Ward well. This is an opportunity to get into the room with him. And with that third pick, they're open to anything. They could move up. They could move back. And when he said it, I almost hit the ceiling. Because let me tell you something right now. There is no way in hell the New York Giants should move back in this draft. I will be absolutely apoplectic if they move back in this draft. It would make zero sense. Zero sense. And don't give me where the roster is and how many picks they could get. Absolute nonsense. There are two options. Two options. And here's how the draft works out in a nutshell. And we could talk about people don't like Shedeur Sanders. I was driving and listening to where I wasn't Keith. I was doing a bunch of different things, listening to some podcasts and everything. And I heard someone say there's a comp to Shador's ceiling is Geno Smith. So you're hearing Geno Smith. I was having a conversation yesterday with Geo, and he's telling me he's hearing people say that, you know, the comps are ridiculous. You know, Chad Pennington is the comp for Shedeur Sanders. Whatever the case may be, this is most likely, in most everyone's opinion, a two-quarterback draft. And then there are two generational talented players in Hunter, the shutdown corner, who might be a gadget wide receiver, and Carter, the linebacker and pass rusher. At number three, you are guaranteed one of two things. You are guaranteed the quarterback you believe in, that you think can be the next franchise quarterback for the New York Giants, where nothing, and I'm sorry to upset you, Aaron Glenn, with this comment. I hope you're not listening, and I don't want to upset you and get you all mad. But nothing is more important than finding that franchise quarterback. Nothing. So either you have your franchise quarterback, or at least the person you believe is the franchise quarterback, or you have an all-world shutdown corner or an all-world edge rusher. You're guaranteed one of those things with the third pick. And this roster, I know there's holes throughout it, but the idea of trading back for more picks and passing up on a quarterback or an uber-talented, best player in the draft, generational talent, is absolutely asinine. They better either the move up part, I'm with you. If you, after all these meetings, you love Cam Ward and Cam Ward's your guy, move up and take him if you feel you need to. Or Shedeur Sanders is your guy and you will not be able to sleep at night unless you leave that draft with Shedeur Sanders, move up and take him. Or you think Carter is the next Lawrence Taylor and you'll be sick if you leave the draft without him, move up and take him. I don't care. But you do not move back. This team does not have enough great talent. And that's what makes, I mean, we could talk till we're blue in the face. First of all, he's had two bad drafts and one good draft. And now we're going to expect this GM, who might not even be making the picks if he's moving back and getting second rounders and whatever else next year's draft. He might not even be making the picks he's trading for. There is no way in hell the New York Giants should be trading down. You either trade up or you take your quarterback or an all-world talent at the third pick. That's the one thing out of the Joe Shane press conference that jumped out at me. They better not move back. We'll talk about how they're definitely going to get a veteran quarterback, even if they draft a guy at three, which I think is the smart move, other than Matthew Stafford. We'll get into whether or not Matthew Stafford makes sense for the Giants and his $50 million asking price, as well as trading for him. And the New York Jets, as we'll spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks at three, continue to tell you that it's about winning now. I'm tired of talking about the quarterback. We have other great players that are fed up with losing, other great players I might not be able to give a legitimate quarterback to, and I'm going to try and build with this young core that won't be young and won't be inexpensive in a year or two. I don't get it. I don't get it. The New York Jets have moved on from Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully, oh, please God, hopefully, he'll be with the New York Giants this year. But they move on from Aaron Rodgers under the name of winning now and under building a culture and what's best for the franchise. So every day we go through the options that they have now that they've moved on from Aaron Rodgers, and we decide whether or not they're better off in their culture building and their winning right now process. So today, as every day, 3 a.m. hits, and we spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks.
Shuffles forward now, rears back, rifles it to the end zone, and it's a touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Shedeur, buying time, he rifles it back of the end zone. Shedeur running to the end zone, breaks a tackle, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Shedeur dropped, he curved around the containment on the right side, took it right into the end zone, caught by Owen Goss, and a six-yard run by the quarterback Shedeur Sanders.
Snap taken by Shedeur, looks the right, throws the lob into the back of the end zone. Will Shepard goes up high, makes the grab, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Boy, Shedeur Sanders feathered that one in there. Shedeur Sanders talking to his offensive line, making sure protections are set. Down to two, down to one, got it off in time. Drops the throw, scans, cocks his arm, steps back again, gives ground. Now he runs up in the pocket, whips it back to the end zone, wide open, caught, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Buying time! his feet was Shedeur Sanders.
Snap to Ward. Under pressure, he rolls out left. He escapes the pocket. He throws into the end zone. Back of the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Miami.
Ward staying tall in the pocket. Scanning. There's to his left. Still looking. Let it fly toward the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown. What a play. What a throw. A gem of a play. Takes the snap. They rush four. He throws. He's got a man out there. It's caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5. To Jacoby George. Touchdown. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami, 49 yards from Cam Ward to Jacoby George along the right sideline with immaculate precision.
Hey, we might have done it. We might have found an option that I could at least envision being better than Aaron Rodgers. That's exactly what the New York Jets should do. We've gone over all these options of terrible quarterbacks in, you know, Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins and all these guys who can't stay healthy, don't win football games, throw interceptions. Although I shouldn't say that about Tyrod Taylor because he has won almost half of every game he's played in the NFL. But this is the one option. Now, I know it goes against the win now process of the coach who's making every decision based on winning now. But at 7, and the idea, we've already seen mock drafts where the quarterback falls to 7, whether it be Sanders or Ward, these two specific quarterbacks. And this is the two of them, and this is moving up to get them. This isn't some of the other quarterbacks. We put them in a different category. This isn't drafting Jackson Dart later in the game. This isn't finding Milroe in the second round. This is specifically targeting one of the two top quarterbacks in this NFL draft, the two quarterbacks who are deemed to be at least first-round picks, if not at the top of the draft, as most people will tell you. But this is the move to start anew with this franchise, which for me, if you're going to bring in a rookie head coach, if you're going to bring in a rookie GM, why try and catch lightning in a bottle with some washed-up quarterback? Because make no mistake, that's all that's out there. Go out there, make a bold move, go trade up for your future quarterback, and give this franchise a breath of fresh air. And let's be totally honest, with the players who have now voted the owner an F, and it's one of the lowest graded franchise in the league, they don't know this coach, they've already come out with their displeasure about moving from Aaron Rodgers. If you're telling them to their face, it's about winning now, how in the world can you bring in failed quarterbacks? How do you bring in Kirk Cousins, who got benched for a rookie, not because it was just time to see the rookie, but because they had hopes of making the playoffs and had to get rid of his bum ass if they wanted to do that? Like, how do you bring in these failed quarterbacks? How do you bring in a Justin Fields, who was 4-2 and one of the great head coaches in the league, said, nah, I don't care that we're 4-2. I want to go to Russell Wilson. Oh, Russell Wilson's tragically bad the last 3 weeks of the year heading into the playoffs. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to the lesser quarterback. Like, how do you sell these players who are tired of this on lesser options? You sell them on the hope of the future. You sell them on the prospect that you love these quarterbacks, you believe in these quarterbacks, and you go get a Cam Ward, who's the best quarterback in this draft. You go get a Shedeur Sanders, who can be a star in this league and has proven that he can handle the market. He's already rich and famous. He's dealt with a father who's been in the spotlight his entire life. This is the option of all of the options that make the most sense to me for the New York Jets. So finally, we get to the verdict. What do we think? Is this an option the New York Jets should take? Is this a successful spin of the wheel? What should they do? Take a chance on me. Take a chance on him. And I left Marco in here. He had no idea why. We had to hear the song. After that miserable football season where we barely spent any time together, I feel like I haven't heard it. Blast it. Take a chance on me. Take a chance on Cam. Shedeur Sanders, do it. You want to take a chance on Kirk Cousins? For what? I love it. That's all I ask of you. So, yeah, that was Fliegelman's idea to have you sitting here just so you could hear your favorite song.
I hate you both.
It's not like you're busy or anything doing updates.
That's not true, by the way. I just reminded him that it was his idea that he forgot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I hate you both. And Ryan, because you were involved in this, I don't like you either.
That's fine.
It was good to hear the song, though, wasn't it?
No.
No?
No.
I feel like it's been so long.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
Like, we were just on different schedules, you know. Fleegs leaves me the entire second half of the football season.
Pretty much, yes.
You're, you know, dealing with, you know, the emergency room that has become your living room.
The plague, yes.
Yeah, the plague. I had a bunch of different things, you know, and we just, we lost touch with that song. And I felt like it was important for all of us to have that bonding moment.
It wasn't. And I hate you all.
Okay.
Forever.
Forever?
Yep.
As much as the thought of Kirk Cousins quarterbacking the Jets, more or less.
I don't know if I hate it that much.
So I had you in here. Wait, what do you think? Jets trade up disaster, or would you be if it's announced the Jets trade up to number two with the Cleveland Browns? How do you feel about it?
Depends on how much they give up, but no, I think that's a good option for them. Look, none of these options are good. Yes, I think that's what you keep hitting on.
That's the
I mean,
whole point.
There's nothing that's there. You look
the
and you go,
point
that's
of the wheel.
This is the one. So if the Jets believe, and I'm a big stickler, if you believe that this is the guy that can take you forward for the next 10 years,
right,
then you move heaven and earth, you go get him. Now, if you don't believe that and you go, I think he might be able to. No, right. Now you made a mistake.
Right.
You made a mistake before you even decided to do anything. So if you if you have that conviction and one of these guys, you feel like you can go get him and you feel like he can be finally the quarterback for the franchise that they've been looking for since Joe Namath, then absolutely, you go and do it. 100%.
I agree. And that's
I just don't see them doing this.
No, me neither. And I'm having fun with it a little bit about, you know, take the chance. I agree with you, though. If they don't believe in these quarterbacks, it's not worth it. But if they do, if they have an inkling that this guy can be that, like, you find that quarterback, it changes your franchise. And right now, they don't have options. And especially for, like, if they're trying to sell this team on win now and you're trying to build around this young core, you bring in a veteran quarterback who can't win and they go through the same motions with no future prospect. Like, it's the Jets all over again, man.
And I think you hit the right name, too. I feel like if for the Jets, now remember, this is Woody Johnson. Mm-hmm. Just got the F. We all know the issues. Loves his big-name quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Kirk Cousins moves the needle anymore.
No.
It did years ago when they wanted to. But Shedeur Sanders does.
Absolutely.
Not Cam Ward.
Right.
But Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I think Cam Ward maybe because I think
that's
most
football
people
wise.
Tell you. Yeah, I know.
That's
I
not what Woody Johnson's looking
but,
for. He's looking for the name on the back page. And I think Sanders would be the guy that 100%. He would love to put in place.
I don't disagree with you that he's the bigger name, the bigger star, more of that than even Cam Ward. But I would say, the only reason why I would say Cam Ward might do it is because he is the number one quarterback in the NFL draft. Like, and that's what most people think. I think that alone, like, has some star name to it. Not as much as Shedeur Sanders, I agree. But it's not like Cam Ward doesn't have any of that. You're talking about the perceived best quarterback in the NFL draft. If they trade up to pick him at one, I mean, that's a sexy thing.
No, I get it. I don't think they're going to go all the way up to one.
Right.
And I do feel like when Woody Johnson push comes to shove, he'll hear, well, they're close, then give me Sanders.
Right.
Oh, there's a conversation that either one of them, then go get me Sanders.
And part if Sanders falls to seven, as Mel Kiper suggests, you have to take him.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
That's where I would take the chance. If he falls to seven, I'm not passing on him.
Yeah, I don't.
Even if I don't love him, I'm not passing on him.
I personally don't love Shedeur Sanders as the prospect for the quarterback. I don't. Now, obviously, I could be wrong, but I don't feel like every year we talk about, well, this guy could slide here, this guy could. There's two quarterbacks that we're talking about in the first round. If anything, I think we're going to wind up with three or four in the first round more than I'm going to see a guy slide.
100%.
We don't see guys slide
100%.
That go from one all of a sudden and they wind up getting picked 10th.
100%.
There's something wrong unless there's an injury because someone will pull the trigger. Someone will move up. Someone will say, I can't walk past it. And I think a lot of it's also just chatter. There's a lot of talk between now and the draft.
Yeah.
And, well, he's the number one pick. Or, no, he's going to slide all the way down to 12. And look at my new latest mock draft.
Yeah.
I don't buy that Sanders is there at 7. If the Jets want him, they're going to have to go up and get him.
No, I don't disagree. I'm saying if it were to happen. But you're right. Like, remember, no better example than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield wasn't the first pick in the draft until, like, 12 hours before the draft. Like it was Sam Darnold. It was not Baker Mayfield. And then suddenly it was just announced Cleveland loves Baker Mayfield. Like there is speculation, nonsense. Who knows? You're right. Shedeur Sanders might be the number one pick, but that goes for other things too. Like people, Giant fans in particular. Oh, just take Jackson Dart in the second round. You're not getting Jackson Dart in the second round. You're right. These guys are all going to get
they're all going to get drafted.
If you want, and that's something for the Giants, if you're looking at a Giant fan, and you say Jackson Dart, and I can see that thought process. Get the best player. If you don't get Matthew Stafford, whatever, and you're looking at Jackson Dart, then guess what? You're going to have to trade back into the first 100%. Round, and you're going to have to get him late in the first round, a la think like a Lamar Jackson. There's two reasons. One, because someone else will pluck him. And two, you also want that fifth-year option if you got a quarterback that you don't want to take him in the second round. Right. You'd rather take him at pick number 28 as opposed to
pick
34.
30. Yeah, no, I agree.
So these are all things that come into play. And if you gotta it's not just the game of deciding whether or not they're value. It's also just really deciding you're handing your keys of your franchise and your job to a player. You better be damn well sure that you feel good about that. And that's something that you're gonna have to move up to do that.
No, I don't disagree. So I mean, but moving up, I mean, that is a significant thing. Do you think that they should take the chance?
Oh. If you change your mind. Take a chance.
He approves. Marco approves.
Take a chance on me.
Take the chance.
If you need me, let me
All right, that's enough. I've tortured him enough. Thank you very much. That is a banger right here. Wait, hold on. One more time.
I love how you say that. That's breaking it
when
down.
When it kicks in.
What kick into
that's
what?
That's when the beat kicks in.
There's one beat.
No, that extra drum kicks in. Up until that point, it's just kind of like bump, 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 bump. Yeah. Come on, you know where it kicks in.
Real banger.
Stop it. It is banger. A banger. All right, thank you very much, Marco. I appreciate you hanging out and dealing with that. I don't know how you hate me. I played a song for you. It's a bit strong. Yeah, I'm sure there is. All right. Oh, we got one more. That's right. I said yesterday we're going to judge. Also, we had Marco in there, so we had a little bit of fun, and we got sidetracked. But every day we're going to take the comments of Aaron Glenn in his press conference at the Combine about what a quarterback, what a New York Jet Aaron Glenn quarterback looks like. And we're going to judge those comments on the candidate that we spun the wheel. So Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, do they measure up to his expectations of what a quarterback for the New York Jets should be?
Listen, I look for guys that love football. I look for guys that are highly competitive. And I look for guys that endear themselves to their teammates. We're looking for smart, tough, aggressive, and resilient players.
Well, I can't tell you I know for sure that they do measure up to those standards, and we would find out if they were to be here. But I can tell you this. About 75% of the wheel quarterbacks I know don't represent those factors. And at least there is a chance that these two quarterbacks will. So, look, it's not about winning now with this pick. I get it. I do think you have to love them. There are circumstances to it. We're just having fun with the wheel a little bit. But that is about as good an option for me, looking at the Jets and their future and where they sit currently. I don't want to take a lesser quarterback, attempt to win, which I don't think I can with a lot of them. Like, once I moved on from Aaron Rodgers, like, we've gone over two names, Stafford and one of these two picks. Those are by far, and we'll find out if they're the only, but so far, by far, the best options for the New York Jets, because Stafford does provide you those qualities, and he does provide you winning football and a very good chance. In fact, I would say a excellent chance to end your playoff drought. Other than that, why start the rebuild in a year or two? You've got a bunch of young players here you're making decisions on. You've got a bunch of young, talented players you're going to have to pay. I'd rather have the young quarterback on the rookie contract, especially drafted, as Marco said, in the first round, where I'm not going to have to pay him until that, you know, sixth year, theoretically. I know some of these guys want their contract earlier, and they typically get it. But, like, I don't have to pay this guy for a bunch of years. I'll be able to put money around. I'll be able to pay some of these young, good quality players that I believe in right now, as opposed to in a year from now, and I don't know about the quarterback. So for me, Matthew Stafford makes a lot of sense for the New York Jets, and so does trading up and taking a chance on one of these top two quarterback prospects.
Heard your sports minute there talking about the NFLPA grades, which has become a thing the last couple of years. They have put this out there in detail, and they do it during a time of year where it's going to be talked about because there's not as much going on, and there's some teams that do really well. So this just isn't just a hammer time on organizations. There are players on teams that really like their organizations, but you always talk about it, the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL in which you played. Cincinnati Bengals, New York Jets, Arizona Cardinals. And these three teams, once again, in 2025, did not fare well amongst the current players in this poll.
Now, I did not play for this ownership here. I played for Leon Hess, who was a very nice man, and I really did respect him and liked him. And he taught my dad. He took care of my dad, let's put it that way. He treated him great because they were both World War II veterans, and I had nothing but a good time and appreciated the ownership here, especially after I left Cincinnati. You know, it was interesting. I sent this thing out to a couple of ex-teammates of mine for the Bengals. The Bengals had one of the worst practice facilities ever known to mankind. I mean, it was in the lower, I want to say, west side of Cincinnati. It was called Spinney Field. Right to the north of us was the city treatment plant, the poop plant.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street from us was a galvanizing plant. You know, those old orange metal barrels that they used to use in traffic. Now they use plastic ones.
Sure.
They would galvanize that. And then right down the road was a mattress manufacturing plant. Behind us was a thing called the Mill Creek. And the Mill Creek emptied out into the Ohio River. And that thing was polluted back in the day. And I remember we used to go out in the practice field and you can taste the metal in the air and you could smell the poop coming down if you had a northerly wind. And I remember we all would look at Kenny Anderson and say, you know, as long as he lives, that's how long we're going to live, because he was there the longest.
Yeah.
And Kenny's still living to this day. So it's a very good thing. But anybody who ever played back in the 80s for the Bengals or even the Dolphins had a horrendous facility down there, because I remember when we went down there for the Super Bowl, we used their facility for... Mm-hmm. Now, the Dolphins had the great weather.
And, yeah, players would want to go right there because
of that. We were in... When I first got to Cincinnati, and I told Peter King this because he was the guy that picked us up at the airport, I got to Spinney Field. I said, is this a dog kennel? I mean, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a dog kennel, like where they would bring, all the dogs that nobody wanted. And our lockers were chain-link fences. And I've often told you about the Great Chicken Massacre in Cincinnati, where the players had to go out and go get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always, a rookie would always have to go get the Popeye's chicken for the team.
Yeah.
And that was a mess. And he got into an accident, got hit by a drunk driver like at 11 o'clock in the morning coming from one of these overnight factories that we were practicing around. So, I don't really feel sorry for a lot of these players, especially when I go to that jet facility over there.
Well, they don't know what it was like,
They have no idea. And plus, they're averaging about, I would imagine the average player is making a minimum $10 million in his career.
Mm.
Minimum. I think Phil Simms made less than $7 million in his career, maybe even less than that. I mean, just to give you a perspective.
Yeah.
But all I know is that when I got traded to the Jets, Hofstra was like Shangri-La. I mean, I felt like I died and went to heaven. That's how nice Hofstra was compared to what the Bengals had. And then, when I went out to Arizona, that was even better because that was brand new and it was beautiful weather.
So basically,
that helped.
You look at this stuff and say, you don't know what an F is.
You have no idea.
You don't know what a D minus is.
And you could ask any one of my teammates, man. But I'll tell you what, it was our place. It was a very special, weird place, but it was our place, and I see the strength coaches, we used to lift anvils and we had Nautilus when I got there. And the weight room was about as big as this studio is here.
And CBS Sports Network has the Jets report card up there. Of course, the biggest one that pops off the page is ownership F, Woody Johnson. And then the term culture of fear was used by some players, which... I mean, is that fear of being cut? Is that fear of being yelled at? I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Maybe probably just with the firings of Saleh and Douglas during the season, it was like, hey, you could be next. You could be the one out of here. And also the treatment of the families. They got a C-, which is going to piss some people off, too.
No, Bob Kraft did not fare well. The New England Patriots did not fare well, but the New England Patriots have won Super Bowls. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other end, fared well in every aspect of their organization, and yet they have won nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it really has to do with each individual player and their own experience dealing with whatever they're dealing with at the time, especially when the survey gets in front of them.
Yeah.
So if the team...
When does it get in front of them, do you know?
I'm sure it gets in front of them towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Like I would say, you know, so if your team is having a bad year, you're having a bad year, you're not happy, the media is all over you. And you remember the reports about, you know, Brick Johnson running the team and the Madden thing and all of that crap that was going on here and the Aaron Rodgers fiasco and...
Plus, I think the players liked Rob Saleh and they liked Joe Douglas. And I think when those guys got fired,
right, exactly. So now you can see why and this is also maybe one of the reasons why Woody Johnson said at the press conference introducing both Aaron Glenn and Darren Bucci that he wanted to be a better owner.
Mm.
I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know how he sees himself. But again, like I told you yesterday, at the moment that Brick Johnson started getting into the media and Aaron Rodgers making a joke about it. See ya. Goodbye. Everybody's gone. And then Woody basically said that, you know, that he wasn't involved in whether or not Aaron was going to be coming back and all that other stuff publicly. I think that was a fib.
Mm. Yeah. So the Jets 29th overall out of 32 teams, the Giants 20th. Out of 32 teams, although Brian Daboll got a really good rating, a B-plus for a team and a coach that has not won a lot the last couple of years. So,
They had a C-minus on their locker room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do these guys want? I mean, they don't want the Four Seasons? They already have the Four Seasons. I mean, I go over to that Jet facility. I mean, Woody Johnson spared no expense at that facility.
Yeah, but are they talking about the locker room at MetLife, or are they talking about the locker room?
I mean, look at that Jet facility. Is that remarkable?
Oh, yeah. We go there every year, and we comment on how nice it is.
The fields are ridiculous. The strength and training is ridiculous. They have the food preparation group over there. I mean, the chef, the food, and everything. It's top notch. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you can get it any better. I guess maybe Minnesota has it better. Atlanta has it better.
Yeah, in the Jets locker room, they said D-plus training room. See, I'm sure that probably has
something.
The training room has got to be Florham Park. That's got to be Florham Park.
100%. They're talking about the facilities where the Jets are every day. They're only at the stadium once.
Yeah.
I mean, what was interesting, they didn't rank the stadiums.
They did not.
But I don't know why that's not in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that MetLife Stadium would not be close to the top if we were ranking things from best to worst.
Right, and you'd probably get both teams because two teams play in there. So both would probably give it negative vibes. And maybe I don't know what their locker rooms are in that building. I'm assuming they're okay.
I don't want to be right about our assessment of who the Jets hired and how we wanted someone with experience, both as a general manager and a head coach, and it can't be a first-time head coach, a first-time GM, and a staff filled with guys that are first-timers, and then maybe bring in another young quarterback. You can't do it again. I really don't want to be right. But, man, yesterday, those two press conferences that they had, they did not get off to a good start. And that's being kind. That's being kind. Both of them did not get off to a good start. They're learning. They're learning on the job. They'll get better at these things, I hope. But, man, I just feel like we're doing the same thing all over again. Maybe that's because we are. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. It's a rookie head coach. It's a rookie GM. It's a rookie offensive coordinator. Maybe it will be Tyrod Taylor to start the season and then a rookie quarterback to take over.
Yeah.
And we've been down this road before with the Jets, and it didn't work out well. But I will say this. For those guys, it is really their first foray into in front of the national media. It's a big deal. You know, the combine is a big deal for them. They're both there, which I appreciate it. And the fact that Aaron Glenn was a scout when he first started as getting in back into the NFL after he was done playing, I could appreciate that he wants to be there. You know, Rob Saleh hadn't been there the last few years, and some coaches don't like to go there because they feel like they're badgered by other coaches for jobs and things of that nature, much like at the Senior Bowl.
Sure.
And they feel like this is really the scouts and the general managers that really need to be there. The coaches don't need to be there. But it really makes me feel that Aaron Glenn and Darren Bucci really are on the same page, and they're trying to make sure that they have a consensus on players that they're looking at and that the type of players that they want. So that I do appreciate. But, yeah, I couldn't help but watch Darren Bucci, as you pointed it out this morning, because I wasn't even thinking about it yesterday. And then this morning you pointed it out. And he has a thing about using his hands about everything.
And it's almost like Kamala Harris-like.
It's, you know, very, I mean? it's politician-esque. It's very,
but I'm just telling you, like, he's grabbing things out of the air and bringing them together and you know, patting his heart. And I mean, it is. I didn't realize it watching him yesterday, but when I came in this morning and you said, what do you think he's doing with his hands? I said, well, look, this is the first foray into this. He'll learn because, you know, obviously somebody, well, you in this case, will bring it up, the fact that he uses his hands quite a bit when he talks.
But it's like he uses his hands and not in a way that New Yorkers use their hands. Like, he's using his hands in a full of crap politician way. And that's the thing that's bothering me about it, is the fact that he does this thing where he clenches a fist. And then he clenches his other fist, then he brings them together. Like, he did that twice, where he's like, so what we have is we got the coaches here, right fist. We got the front office people here, left fist. And then we come together. He brings the fists together. And we come together. And then he goes, and then we'll put it up, and he puts his hand way up in the air. We'll put it up on the whiteboard here. We got it up on the whiteboard here. And I'm like, Dad, stop! I mean, look, act like a human! So, I mean, now, if he picks the right players, then the guy's going to be a hero here. And
that's all that really matters.
Right, none of this matters, but it's just when you're trying to get a first impression, are these guys going to be the guys? And you got him. He's like, you know, I want them to know me. And he's putting his hand on his heart. I want them to know me. And, you know, the whiteboard is not just me. It's me and here and the scouting and here and the boom and above and the USAID and here. God! And then,
I understand what you're saying. Now that I went back and watched it, I didn't realize it when I saw it first.
Well, what I said to you too is like, watch this and tell me what you think, you know? So I'm watching it and I'm laughing, and then you put it on and you're seeing the same stuff and you're laughing.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I'm like, all right. So, I mean, these guys are all new to this and they'll understand it too. And the other thing too, by the way, I would not believe anything that anybody says at any of these press conferences at the combine. Nobody really wants to truly lay out their cards about what's going on and how things have gone down, especially like I heard Tiki and Evan were talking about this yesterday. Evan, as a Jet fan, said he wanted more about the Aaron Rodgers discussion. And I was just thinking to myself, if I were in Aaron Glenn's situation or Darren Mooji's situation, I would have done exactly what they did. Guys, he's not on the team anymore. He's not going to be on the team anymore. We're done talking about it. And I, you know, we don't have to talk about it anymore. He's gone. He's going to be somewhere else. And we wish him nothing but the best. You know, these are young guys coming in trying to recreate a culture. And I thought maybe that they would have thought about keeping Aaron. But then the more I thought of it, and the more I thought about Aaron's, conversation with Pat McAfee at the end of December about being the first time being released, and then being released by a teenager.
Yeah.
That was a shot right across the bow of Woody Johnson and Brick Johnson, his 18-year-old son, who the story came out about, you know, the Madden ratings and the trading of Jerry Jeudy and things of that nature. I don't know how true that is. I don't know how accurate that stuff is. But the fact that Aaron made a joke about it on national television basically sealed his fate. Because the one thing I do know about Woody Johnson, you can say whatever you want. You may not like him as an owner. You might find him awkward. You may not like his politics. But the one thing I will say about him, he's a serious guy. And, you know, family is off limits, man, for all of us. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. And you know, Diana Rossini and was it Rosenblatt?
Zach Rosenblatt.
I think they're the ones who dragged, you know, Brick Johnson into this conversation and everything else. For whatever reason, they were doing their job. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying they're doing their job. But once Aaron Rodgers did that on McAfee, goodbye, see ya. And, you know, they could have, Woody could have said all he wanted to say this offseason about, oh, you know, it's not my decision. It's going to be the coach's and general manager's decision. That decision was made that day.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in my eyes, that's how I feel that whole thing went down. And so you're not going to hear any more about Aaron Rodgers. And I think Evan did bring up a good point, or one of the guys on the show brought up a good point yesterday, that, yes, you will hear only about Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers decides to go back and revisit what happened somewhere along the line here. Or is he just going to look forward and forget the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of depends on what he wants to put out there and how he wants to be perceived. And, you know, if it's true that he was groveling to the Jets, which I find hard to believe that he'd be groveling to the Jets to keep him, then he might not want to talk about it because it's embarrassing for him. But if he feels like the reporting has been bad and inaccurate, then he will set the record straight because that's what he does. And as far as Aaron Glenn talking about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is the thing that I would tell him if I were the PR person. So, you know, he actually said in this press conference, it's pissing me off that we're just talking about the quarterback and it's a disrespect to the other players in the locker room. No, it's not, man. You got to understand that these questions are going to be asked. And it's not a disrespect to the other guys in the locker room that people are asking questions about the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the number one market. That's the most important position in sports. You had one of the most famous guys to ever play the position who you just got rid of.
He didn't have him.
Okay. Doesn't matter. They decided to get rid of him, and it's still a part of the story. And for him to think that because people are asking questions about the quarterback and where you're going to go with the quarterback and the Aaron Rodgers stuff, and he thinks that you're disrespecting, like he said, Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams and AVT and these guys. No, you're not. Nobody's saying that those guys aren't important to the team.
By the way, a lot of those guys wanted Aaron Rodgers back.
Yeah, especially Quinnen Williams, who put it out there on X and said, yeah, I guess we're going through another rebuild.
So. Yeah, and I think that Aaron Glenn's trying to move as far away from Aaron Rodgers in that discussion as he possibly can. And I would be doing the same thing. My simple thing is, that, listen, guys, Aaron's not a part of our team. I'm done talking about it. It's over with. We have to move forward. We have to find the right players. We'll figure the quarterback situation out as we go on. And those are all the simple steps that we have to take. And that's about it. I am not going to go into a player who is no longer with us. And I was never with him.
Yeah, well, that's a better answer than what Aaron Glenn gave.
Well, I understand Aaron's. So Aaron, from my perspective, you know, it seems like he's gonna battle with the media, and he is going to try to be a tough guy, kind of like Parcells was, kind of like Sean Payton is, and kind of like Dan Campbell is.
Beautiful spring-like afternoon. I'm going to be very selfish for 10 seconds. Very selfish. I am taking tomorrow and Friday off, and I'm going to Florida. It's a yearly tradition. I visit my sister, my nephew, my brother-in-law. They live down there. And I got to be honest with you. The day I'm leaving or the day before I'm leaving, I don't want it to be 55 degrees.
Right. I kind of like this.
Yeah. I want it to be 9 degrees. Like, I want it today, and I admit, completely selfish. That's why I acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
I want it today to be the coldest day of the year so that tomorrow, when I get on that 5 a.m. plane, and I get off that plane, mm-hmm, and I smell the disgusting humidity in Florida, I'm like, oh, that feels good. Right. But now it's 55, and it's like, yeah, oh, I gained a couple of degrees, whatever.
But now you're not worried about the plane tomorrow morning de-icing.
That's true.
I guess you could look at it that way.
That is very true.
I am concerned with the plane, you know, landing, because there's been so many weird plane issues over the last few weeks that... Yeah, I need to drug myself up before I get on that plane.
Very dicey, but honestly, the worst plane issue of them all. Did you see what happened on Southwest Airlines this week?
No.
A bunch of passengers joined together to sing Lee Greenwood's, what's his American song, his big song?
You don't know the song? God Bless the USA.
God Bless the USA.
Huh.
Passengers joined in, they all sung together. To me, you could talk about runway mishaps. That is the biggest plane issue of them all.
Why?
What's wrong with that?
It's a patriotic song. What's the problem?
I don't want 65 fellow passengers thinking that the plane is time for Say What karaoke. That is so distracting. Mind your business.
You're wrong.
What precipitated
it? Why did that happen?
I don't know. It's gone viral everywhere, so I'm sure it was probably a cool moment. You can see there's a couple passengers not partaking. Like, will you guys just shut the heck up?
See, I like that. What would bother me is if, and that's where I thought you were going, if everybody was singing Fly Eagles Fly.
Well, that too. There should be no joint sing-alongs on planes.
Well, maybe it was just a bunch of, like, minded or familiar with each other people. Like, maybe it was a group of, you know what I mean?
But then you're rude to the people you're not like-minded with on
it's
the plane.
It's not rude. You're singing a cool song.
No, that's
Lee Greenwood's, that's a good song.
Were they good?
No.
And probably not.
It's not a problem with it's a good song. We all know it's a good song.
I will say, do you agree, because I'm a big fan of this and it feels like it doesn't happen anymore, but when I was a kid, the rare times we would fly, I remember when we would land, everybody would cheer.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that.
Well, I think that only happens now when there's turbulence in the middle of the flight,
right,
and it's like you're just anxious to get off.
Just get this thing over with now, please.
Yes.
And then it lands. You're like, thank God.
Yeah. Right. Thank God we're not dead. We're cheering.
I think we're going back to the unanimous cheer. Right?
Now, real quick, the NFLPA, they've been doing this for about 3 years now. The players grade their team.
Mm-hmm.
And they grade everything. How their families are treated, the dining facilities, the coach, the owner, everything. So the Giant and Jet grades came out. And I think the biggest headline that's come out of these grades is the fact that Woody Johnson was given an F. Now, there are five other owners that got somewhere in the D's, D-minus or a D or a D's nuts. But Woody is the only owner that got an F. And I'm not surprised. I mean, think about what Woody Johnson did this year.
Right.
He fired the head coach in the middle of, not even the middle of the season, early in the season. And then a report came out that basically his sons were dictating player personnel moves. Plus, we had the owner's son reportedly get involved in like post-game celebrations. So I'm not surprised it was an F. What I was surprised about was that last year, Woody got a B-.
All right. Well, I mean,
so what were they thinking last year?
Well, I think last year was they won the offseason, and despite Aaron Rodgers being injured and missing the entire year, there was an optimism that, hey, man, we're going somewhere. Like, we've been put in a position where we can potentially win a Super Bowl. And so it just felt good. This year, you fire your coach after week five when you're 2-3 and about to take the division lead if you beat the Buffalo Bills, and it just spirals everything. It's like, dude, you just, all you had to do is do nothing, and maybe something good would have happened.
Right.
Instead, you made a very drastic move, and it crushed our season.
Made the season worse.
It made it infinitely worse.
There is a, and I certainly have this as a fan, there's an unknown of what could have happened if they kept Saleh as head coach.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting you they would have won the Super Bowl, but I am suggesting that they wouldn't have gone 5-12.
Yes.
That's what I'm telling
100%. You. 100%. Because, I mean, whatever you felt about Robert Saleh, it's not pertinent right now. It's the very tough, almost impossible position you put Jeff Ulbrich in.
What's the statute of limitations on taking L's with opinions that some of us get wrong, like really, really wrong? Like, is there a limitation? We have never discussed that with the L's.
I haven't fully read the Constitution.
Okay. So. And the only reason I bring that up is Tommy and I got into a very passionate argument about the subject before Robert Saleh was fired, where Tommy was like, they got to fire Robert Saleh. And I was like, bro, he's not a good head coach. I agree. But I was vehemently against doing it midseason, and we argued about that. And to Tommy's credit, unlike Sean, Tommy has admitted, I got that one wrong. Like, Evan, you were right about that. I am curious, though, if him being as wrong as he was does qualify for L-wearing.
I wasn't wrong that it wasn't the right, it was the right decision to do.
No, it wasn't.
Could they have hired Pete Carroll in the middle of the season?
No.
What do you mean, no?
That just doesn't happen. We had that argument as well, that it doesn't happen.
They just replaced him with somebody
that
was...
What was he doing? He was teaching?
Yeah.
No, but you can't... My point was not that you couldn't hire him, just like Bill. My point is, that's not going to work. You can't bring in someone from outside the organization in the middle of a football season say, go be the head coach.
But a lot of times when a head coach gets fired, you see an uptick in performance. We saw Antonio Pierce get a job out of that. Ulbrich just stunk. I mean, that's so...
But that was the argument that you made. You said that they would be better off hiring an interim head coach. My argument to you was all around not defending Saleh. I thought Saleh stunk, but was around this will actually make things worse.
Right.
So I don't want to relitigate the argument. I just want to know from Tiki if Tommy should wear an L for it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. I see. We're good. We're all good.
Defending you here, Tommy.
Thank you.
Let's go. He just wants that L on me, too.
It was too long ago.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good. So statute of limitations.
It's not the argument. It was that too much time has gone by. Yes. Fair enough. Let's go to John in Spring Lake, New Jersey. What's up, John?
First and foremost, Evan, how could you possibly think that anything that Tom Brady would do in line of tampering would benefit the Jets? There's nothing Tom Brady has ever done that would ever benefit the Jets. And I think someone named Joe Beningo would agree with me on that.
I am just painting. You know what? You know what Joe would agree with me on? Joe has always said that when something epic happens or something amazing happens, like the Cubs winning the World Series or the Red Sox winning the World Series, or in our case, the Jets winning the Super Bowl, it would have to be done in an epic way. And all I'm saying is, wouldn't it be epic for the Jets to finally find their franchise quarterback singularly because Tom Brady committed a mistake that cost his team a pick that moved the Jets up one slot to draft the quarterback. That's all I'm saying. That would be epic.
That would be. And then I guess the second part, Tiki, how much stock do you really take in this NFLPA annual report card, because now if a post says what, a culture of fear,
right?
It's like, wow, can we put that on the billboards on I-95 for to sell Jet season tickets?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I think what you take from this report card is that the players were ridiculously upset with how this all went down this past season. How Woody Johnson got involved. Now, if it had been, why am I forgetting the general manager's name now?
Of who? My team?
Yeah, the
Muji.
No, last year.
Joe Douglas.
If Joe Douglas had said, I've made the decision to move on from Robert Saleh, it's not good for us, and I consulted with Woody, and Woody said it was all right, Woody probably would have gotten a C or so. C-minus, something like that. But because it was Woody injecting himself into football operations unilaterally, I guess with his brother, so it was, you know, them two, firing their head coach 5 games into the season, it just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
So I looked at...
That's what the F comes from.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think it's anything else.
100%.
The facilities are great. The people over there are great. It was all about how they handled the coaching situation
last year. I looked at every owner's grade on the NFL report card, every single one of them. Every single one of them. And if you looked at every one of them, you would realize these grades do not make sense in terms of if the organizations are good or not.
Right.
The Kansas City Chiefs, they're a good organization.
Yeah.
C-.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I wonder why that is. I bet it's their facility has just gotten old.
Completely, because again, a lot of the grades were various things that I think fans don't care about. Right. You care about, which I respect, like players care about.
Right. What's the training room look like?
Right.
What's the food situation like?
Right.
Right. Do I have some place for my wife and kids to be on game day if I have a young kid and it's like chaos?
And as a fan, what I'd say is I wish my team had A's for everything because I want my players to be treated well as a fan, but ultimately, like, we don't care that much. But the Patriots got a D, and the Steelers got a D. Mm. There were 3 teams that got A pluses. Are you ready to hear the owners that got A pluses?
Go ahead.
The Miami Dolphins, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Minnesota Vikings. Mm. The Las Vegas Raiders got an A. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't get an A. I have no idea.
I think so much of this is facilities. Like, what's the? Because think about this. The Raiders facility is new. The Minnesota's is relatively new. Atlanta's is gorgeous, even if it's not that new.
Right.
And they're displaced from, you know, Atlanta proper. So you don't feel any of the angst from, you know, being in the city. And then who was the other one? Miami?
Miami.
You're in Miami.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter if it's new. You're in Miami.
And just for Giant fans, John Mara and the Giants got a C+. There were 2, 4, 6, 8, like 12 teams below. So it's somewhere in the middle. I don't know what to take out of the grades, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I know. Woody Johnson, if you're listening, I was not a great student, never got an F. Not one time. And I came close, especially with earth science. But let me tell you something.
Earth
science killed me. Kicked my ass.
What is earth science?
Rocks.
Rocks?
Rocks, prehistoric time periods.
The tectonic plates.
Fossils.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I've
gotten more interested in earth science as time has gone by. Like if I took a test right now, I'd probably be interested in reading more about it. But biology, that was another one. Couldn't stand biology.
I loved biology. I don't know why. We dissected a frog.
Yeah.
We also did a frog and something else. I can't remember. But AP bio it took. It was awesome.
Were you straight A's?
I was straight A's.
Yeah. I had a B average, and what's funny is I never got B's.
Huh.
Because the subjects,
how is that possible?
I'll tell you exactly how. The subjects I cared about, I would destroy. Like history, A+. Not
even
close.
I see. I got you.
Math for a while, A+.
You're on other sides of it.
Science, D-. Barely pass. You're right. So it was so extreme what I cared about and what I didn't care about that I'd always end up with a B, and I don't think I ever walked home with an actual B.
That's funny.
If that makes any sense.
Somebody rockin', knockin' devil.
BT and Sal, 11:28 on the fan. Hoff is playing Saturday Night Music. A little Saturday Night vibe at home when the kids are sleeping, huh? Little baby making music here.
All right, couple of one Giant note, one Jet note. Get back to the Yankee calls as well. 3RQ coming up next segment. BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019. First, the Giant note. Now, I spent a lot of time on Stafford yesterday. And what I think the Giants could do, what I think the Giants should do, this is all on, obviously, on the podcast. Free Odyssey app, check it out. WFA on YouTube, you want to go watch it from yesterday, I think you guys will like it.
presented a lot of options. I'm all in. Well, I mean, maybe all in is strong, but I believe the Giants should absolutely go and get Stafford. $50 million seems like it's a lot of money. It's not. There's a $20 million increase in the salary cap. So I believe the Giants have thought and aligned themselves with that mindset now for a little bit. I believe that's their first target, and I believe that would be the right move. And I feel a little bit better about that opinion. I saw this tweeted a couple of hours ago. Jordan Renan had this, obviously covers the Giants. He wrote from the combine, it's pretty clear after a couple of days in Indianapolis that the Giants' top priority quarterback is Matthew Stafford. See what happens with him and the Rams and move on from there. Yep. Listen, he's not going to be on the Rams next year. Just not. He's not. When you give somebody permission to seek another trade and talk about contracts, the writing is on the wall. He's gone. And, you know, I know that there's some, maybe some hesitation there from Giants fans. Well, you know, they're not ready to win a Super Bowl, which I agree with. And now he's 37. This feels more like a Jets move. You guys need to have a functional offense here. You just do. Now, if you love Sanders, I don't know if they do. Now you start to see the Jets maybe connected to Sanders at 7 if he falls. No, thank you. And not to diss the young man. I don't think he's as good as others do. But I think Stafford's a really good move. It stabilizes the building. He is a tireless worker. He's a locker room guy. He's a pro's pro. He's got juice in the arm. He can still go and win games. He'll elevate the building, elevate the young kids, neighbors, etc. Theo Johnson. That's what I would do. All right, so that's the Giants angle. This is not exactly news, but really just more of a reinforcement of how pathetic the Jets have been. So Rich Samini tweeted this. Now, it's going to change with Mooch, hopefully, and Aaron Glenn. But Samini tweeted this earlier. The NFLPA just released its annual player report. The Jets did not do well. These are my words here. What a stunner. It's basically the annual player report card. All right. Things that jump out. Well, the Jets actually have a pretty decent nutritionist and dietitian. B+, 13th in the NFL. The locker room is a D+, which to me is weak. I know MetLife is gross, but I think the locker room, I'm guessing they mean the structure and not the energy in the locker room. I think the Jets locker room, both at Florham Park and at MetLife, is fine. I think it's pretty nice. I think it's pretty good. I would disagree with that. All right, training room, whatever. Training staff, whatever. Strength coach is B. Team travel, C+. What, they don't play? They don't stay at a good enough hotel? See, some of this stuff is stupid. Well, the Woody's charter's not good enough. Yeah, Hoff, you're reaching for the mic. Go ahead.
No, I'm looking at the
ownership.
Rosenblatt put out some stuff too.
Oh, okay, get to that in a sec. Hold on. So this is Rich, and this is not his interpretation. This is just the literal ranking and the grade the NFLPA put out. So the only good grades would be the nutritionist and the dietitian, the strength coaches, and the head coach. I guess that's it couldn't be last year. That's for sure. So it's got to be Aaron Glenn getting a nice B. But how about ownership? F. 32nd in the NFL. And, you know, listen, doesn't change until it changes, until Woody can keep his fingerprints off this and keep his kids away. And we'll see. And I think he's going to start laying out. I hope. But they deserve that F. Now, who was it again?
So Rosenblatt has some similar things, but just a little bit more expanded with, like, quotes from the report.
Okay.
He said, like, rather than addressing concerns, players believe that management responded to feedback by making conditions worse.
Okay.
The Jets ownership grade dropped from a B- to an F, with Woody Johnson receiving the league's lowest owner score for contributing to a positive team culture.
And it was a B- last year at this time?
Yeah.
I mean, that was way off. Oh. This seems more accurate. Sorry, Wood.
The players feel that Johnson does not contribute to a positive team culture, rank of 32 of 32.
But last year he did. That's what I make still. Okay, so.
Well, maybe it wasn't as high as that.
Well, he did fire people mid-season, and the Rodgers met. Yeah, there was a lot of noise. I could see the drop, but I don't think it was ever as high as. It shouldn't have been ever a B-. I think the F is more reflective of who he's been so far, unfortunately. What else
and,
you got?
And finally, owner Woody Johnson's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is a 5.58 out of 10 from Jets players, a ranking of 32 out of 32 owners in the league.
I think that's unfair. Now, to say that I've been to all the other facilities, I haven't been, but You've been to the Giants facility. Have you ever been to the Giants?
Yeah, of course. I've been to the Giants.
That's what I meant. You have not been to the Jets a million times at the Giants. I mean, not to this. The Giants facility. The Giants facility stinks. Honestly, the practice field stinks. It stinks.
But this is from Jets players.
No, I understand that, but I'd like to know, like, true. And it's obviously subjective. I'm not saying what they should grade it, but the only other one that I see regularly is the Giants. To me, the Jets Florham Park is like an A++. Florham Park is beautiful.
Have you been through the ins and outs, like the locker rooms
of the
and,
Jets?
And the training rooms?
The
and
Jets?
Stuff like that? Yes.
Many times. Okay. It's been a while.
Have you been through Quest Diagnostic? Because I see that. I mean, they look really nice.
Yes, but not the training area, the dining area, some of the meeting rooms, the practice field. Enough to feel. It's not horrendous, but I'm just. It feels old. It feels outdated. It doesn't feel very rich. It doesn't feel befitting of the Giants, like that aura, like that Yankee like aura. It just feels a little less than. Now, I haven't been to many around the country. I was at the Lions years ago when they opened up that one in, what was that suburb in Detroit? I'm forgetting it right now. But that was a pretty nice facility when they moved from the Silverdome to Allen Park, maybe? Do I have that right? Deer Park, one of those. I don't know. Who cares? Just win, and you get A's. I'll tell you what does get an A. The host on WFAN ripping the Jets when they lose. That's about as good as it gets. Let me get Stevie in Bayside, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's up, Steve? Steve, you ready? Steve, let's go.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, buddy.
I'm ready. Look, for the people that are complaining about this roster, not loving it, the roster, they also have to remember this roster is not complete. And the Yankees and Brian Cashman, I thought, did an amazing job leaving himself a lot of optionality for future moves down the road. I don't know if people have noticed, but they've had Ben Rice catching in spring training.
Oh, yeah.
I think the plan is that they're going to have Goldie do no more than 4 or 5 days a week, Ben Rice backing him up, maybe getting some reps at catcher. Yep. Maybe Ben Rice can play 3 or 4 days a week. They see what they have in Ben Rice. They believe that the guy's going to hit. They think that he could be this year's Austin Wells. If they have that, then first base is solved for years and years to come. Same thing, third base, look, right now they're going to see what they have with LeMahieu, Cabrera.
They can wait and say they got nothing. Third base is a mess. Third base is awful.
So look, they're going to see what they have.
They got nothing. Let me spare everybody the suspense. Third base will stink until they do something.
Well, you know, we're going to play that out.
Hold on. Play what out? You think DJ can play?
I haven't seen it in a number of years.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying, Steve. Their base is by far the weakest position.
But look, they're going to finish that thought. By mid-season, you don't know, maybe a Vivas breaks out. Maybe they have an internal option. Maybe they go external and trade for somebody.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I said.
You know, look, somebody was asking me how Steinbrenner the other day. They were saying that you know, how can you justify spending, I think, the same or less money after going to the World Series? It was like, well, hey, look, the season's not over. Tell me how much we spent at the end of the year, and then we can talk.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Steve. And that's what I said to start the show. That should be now, right today, enough for Yankee fans. Now, there's going to come a point where, if that's the case and they need to address things and they don't, then that will not be enough, and it should not be enough. Awful World Series appearance. Right now, I'm fine with that. And I read a pretty good article on Ben Rice yesterday. And you do see this a lot over the years. God, I mean, even going back to when I was a kid, you know, so-and-so reported to training camp or spring training, the best shape of his career. He's ready for a massive bust out. And I saw something similar on Ben Rice yesterday where Ben Rice put on basically 20 pounds of good functional upper body muscle weight. And, you know, it was good because it talked about how he hasn't caught in a while and how he really wore down a year ago and how he lost, 15, 20 pounds and how, he just had to get stronger. And, some of the coaches said the ball's got a little more thump off his bat. We'll see. I'll get too wrapped up in that. But I would at least say that Ben Rice is an option. You know, Goldschmidt is having a rough, like a rough week or you're facing a nasty righty with a tough slider. Sit him down. Ben Rice could play first base. Wells behind the plate. Although I don't like the, Steve, don't take this the wrong way. The word optionality, Doesn't it just drive you nuts? Do you hear that, Geek? The new Jacksonville Jaguars general manager. Did you hear this cut the other day? They played it on the morning show. Oh, my God. The phrases that this nerd was throwing out. It was like, dude, just speak like a human being. I'm not saying you can't be intelligent. You don't need to feign, you know, meatheadness if you're really smart. If you have a good vocabulary, you have it? Hold on. If you have a good vocabulary, use it. I love my words. But we have it. Just listen to this guy. I don't even know what his name is. With the Jaguars, their new GM. Go ahead.
We will prioritize people and players that are intangibly rich.
Oh, God.
And by doing so, they will elevate our ecosystem, our team, by being nothing more than themselves.
Oh, dude. Intangibly rich and elevate our ecosystem. Dude. I mean, I know you probably never put a hand in the dirt in your life. But you're not in the boardroom, dude. You're a football executive. Just a little verbiage that people can relate to. Intangibly rich. And I know what he means, and it's actually a smart way of life. He's trying to find an abundance of players that are smart and emotionally invested and adaptable, whatever, coachable, the intangibles. Yeah, okay, great. So you're intangibly rich. Just say we want guys that say whatever you want, but then I can say whatever I want when you say whatever you want. Intangibly rich. And the ecosystem's worse. Where do they get these people? That's the problem with sports. I mean, I know the Parcellses and those guys, the ones we love there. You know, Bill, of course, still with us, thank God. But, you know, the Shulas and the older, even Belichick. All right, I get it's a different day. Ecosystem? Ugh. If that guy was ever hired by the Jets, I would have destroyed his press conference. Destroyed it. College hoops. Wait, we have 3RQ up next, right? Hoff? Good ones, bad ones? Scale of 1 to 10. What's the number on the 3RQ questions? Sal's very good at this. What's the number?
Compared to last time I did this, I think it's better, but it's still like a 2.5.
2.5. So, as always, Hoff is locked in.